Welcome back to another episode of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Jake.
What episode number is this?
I would be lying if I said I knew what it was. I think it's like, is it 44 or 45, maybe?
Awesome.
No, it's 46, I think. Actually.
46.
46.
Did you think of president then?
That's it, yeah. It's 46. And we've been away for a little while.
Yes, apologies for the missed episode last week. It was my fault. I was busy.
Without knowing anything, I reckon people already know that it was your fault.
Yeah, that's true. I was busy. I think I had a house viewing or something.
Wow.
Last week. I don't know. Insert any other excuse. Anyway, enough of this shit. How has your week been? You know, in general, but more so creatively. How have you been?
Well, what did I used to say? Chugging along. It's been a little bit better than chugging along. This past month, in March, I've been basically posting new things every day. So it's been really good for creativity because I've been getting stuff scheduled. I've been recording things, writing stuff up, posting some free things as well, which is always fun. It's nice seeing the reactions from that. But it's been super, super good for creativity. Just because every day I'm making sure that something gets finished, which is, we jam so much, but it's a separate skill being able to jam and being able to like put a cap on something.
Once you can sort of get that down, not frequently, it's a bit of a skill in your, it's an arrow to your bow. Is it?
What's
your bow?
Yeah,
arrow to your quill. Well,
what's nice is it's the same as everyone else. It's the same as running of a morning. When you get to the point where you've done it for like a week straight, it starts getting just natural. It's like routine.
Yeah.
And as soon as something does become like muscle memory, it's so easy to just go, okay, yeah, I've just written a whole ebook. That's done.
This is so funny. I'd love to go back to the first episodes of the Black Art Podcast that we did, where it was like, yeah, we should do this. We'll write that. We'll do this. We'll do that. We should start a magazine, start this. And then to see the Jake of 2024, just be like, yep, nailed an ebook, done this, done that, done another one. It's a completely different person. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very good. It's good. I'm excited about the amount of free stuff that I've been doing because I'm really into that. I know you're into that yourself as well with the YouTube and stuff. Like,
yeah.
If someone isn't in a position where they can access certain things, I do like the idea of them still being able to get high quality stuff.
In a way, I almost don't even see it as free, right? In my head, and the reason I started my YouTube channel was because it was like I've said this so many times, but like a public sketch pad. Like I'd have these ideas, and I think all of us, people listening to this especially, have these ideas, and there's probably not one of us out there that hasn't had what they think is a great idea or an idea that has potential that they've forgotten about.
Yeah.
For me, like, it was just like, at least a lot of the, almost all the stuff I put out there is, I don't see it as free, but it's almost like, I'm not going to do anything with it. It probably could be good if I've invested a lot of time into it or even like money, but I know that I'm not going to for whatever reason. So I'm going to share it so that it sort of marks it down as like a ledger. Like it's just, and then yeah, like putting a cap on it, whether it's a video format or anything, it's just sort of good to have that banked then, you know, it's like logged and you won't forget it.
Yeah. And every time I add something new to like this little collection, it's so, it helps like incrementally just with either confidence or pride or anything like that. It's just this amazing little incremental feeling of being able to look at a slowly growing collection of work and go, oh, this looks nicer and nicer the bigger it gets. That's what she said. but it's been really, really fun. And especially the past month has just been non-stop. Like, I don't even know if I've shown you half of the stuff that I've put out.
I know you haven't shown me half this stuff at all.
There's some cool ass stuff, man.
Are you finding that because I remember years ago, I won't name the person, I posted a card control on the Magic Cafe when I was about 18, 17. It was really young. And I got this really long private message from a guy who had, in this message, told me how incredible he was and how brilliant he was. And basically, the overall point of the message was, why did I bother coming up, spending time creating a new card control? Everything Magic needs has already been done.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I sent him back that quote from, I always forget the name. Everything that should be created has been created. What for that?
I know the one you mean. I think you've mentioned it already before, but I can't remember who it's
Everything.
by.
I'm just quickly searching it now. Everything that has been invented, that can be invented, has been invented by Charles Duhigg. And I just sent him back that quote because that quote was said in 1889. And the point I'm getting to is, do you find that, like, almost because you've forced yourself to create every day? One way of saying it is like you're creating for the sake of it, right? You're not necessarily trying to fix any problems that are there or fill any gaps that are needed. I always think that's the best creativity, is creating for the sake of it, because you sort of just push and push and push and push. And at least I do, and I want to know what your thoughts on it are. And you end up in territories that are green, new pastures. And yeah, I want to know, like, do you find yourself, if you look back after a month, or if you look at where you're at after a month, do you find yourself being more creative and exploring things you never would have been exploring before, purely because you've just aimlessly forced yourself to create consistently?
It's weird because I think both of them are good, but both of them are it's two different types of creativity, isn't it? If you start off creating because you need like a utility filled, there is a purpose of why you're trying to create something, then you've already kind of self-imposed some boundaries, so it's never going to leave that box of its purpose unless there is an unintentional, oh wait, it does this. But if you are just creating from the ether, from nothingness, ideas floating out of the void, then it is way more interesting. It's always more interesting. It's nice to have a purpose to create something and to be like, I really need this. So you know, like the Akan from the other day that I showed you, and you gave it a go.
Yes.
That the purpose for that had a purpose. That wasn't just an ether thing. That was, oh, I'm really, really bad at cards, but I'd like my own Akan. Like for someone who was bad at cards. And so that was with a purpose. So it was still enjoyable and I still love it, but it wasn't the same as like a really weird, nebulous, like ethereal idea that's just where you don't have any limitations on it. Both are fun. I swing both ways.
By creative.
Yes, that's me, by creative.
It's interesting. I need to go through all that work, but yeah, we were just jamming that ACAN again before the call, and I'm gonna try something on Kaylee with it, if I can pin her down in general. No, if I can pin her down to film with her, a way that makes it hands off.
Yeah.
But we'll cover that. All you guys will see that in a video. In the meantime, though, go and check out jakekeen.com and look at his Patreon to see the free stuff that he's been posting. I need to
Yeah,
keep
there's like six free books on there now, I think. Six or seven free books.
bloody legend.
And they're beautifully designed. Not that I'm shilling anything, but you know. So someone sent me a video actually this morning. I'd given them permission to print off some of my free books for themselves.
Wow.
And they looked amazing, these little booklets.
We have to give a shout out before we go any further into the episode to let me just quickly grab the email. Skull and Bongs.
Oh, Sean, yeah.
Sean. So last week, well, the last episode, we talked about the idea of putting a pen or a pencil through the coils of a notepad and then magically making the pencil like sort of melt through the coils. And he's come up with it again. The first time he did this was with the ring, with a knot in a necklace turning into a ring visually. And now he's done it again with this idea. And it's kind of like that big stage illusion where a woman is stood in between all the rings and then they melt
Yeah.
through, normally with a curtain around them. And he's done it again. Yeah, just massive shout out. We've seen the video. It looks incredible. Super, super visual. And
Super practical. It's like the ring and finger trick. It's just something that's really practical that still fools people.
So go and check it out on the Black Art Podcast Facebook group. I'm gonna go watch the performance again right now, just while we're on air.
Well, I'm Bongs here. I'm back again with the spiral
Sean
notebook pencil
Chandler.
trick. Last time I did it with a nail, I guess I wasn't following instructions. So here we go. Pencil, spiral notebook, lined with the spectator's eye line. Hold gently, rip it out.
Looks so good.
You keep that pencil angle straight, and
Wow.
it provides that illusion of consistency.
Wow.
Super cool stuff. Just like the pencil through card
It
illusion.
looks so good.
Happens so quick, just looks real. Also, to have a pencil that has multiple broken pieces, it really does help to have one
You
of
guys need
these,
to go
though.
check out the video because it.
It's a little sheet that helps with the magic. You can ask Lloyd about that. And you can also do it with larger notebooks. Check this out. You wrap that pencil up in a large notebook, and you can just rip it right out. It looks super real, right? Check this out. One, two, three. Just comes right out. That's what helped from the sheep.
The sheep, the Welsh jokes flowing from the other side of the world. Brilliant.
Sean's a cool guy,
Sean
man.
Chandler, man. That trick is, it looks super, super visual. Like that could become a staple piece trick for loads of magicians in the workplace, the office, schools, wherever. I don't know. Is the method impromptu? It is impromptu, right?
Yeah.
Wait, first one he's doing?
I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't look it. It
It's
looks.
just like the ring finger thing.
It looks so good. Looks honestly, looks so good. So shout out to Sean Chandler. Go and check out his video because it deserves praise.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. I like the idea of little shout-outs every now and again. Can I do one?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. You know Chase from Chasing the Illusion, the YouTube channel?
Oh, he's got a new series coming out
That's
called
what, yeah, Magic Is Real. He spent 2 years
Magic.
making a documentary series, which is it's a big deal when you're just doing YouTube, just and you've got like, you know, you're it's not a full-time gig kind of thing.
I've been quietly following that, and it's dropping next week, is it?
I think it's every Sunday from this Sunday, maybe, or it might be next Sunday. I'm not sure. But yeah, like a mixture of interviews and performances and people recounting moments where they've experienced something seemingly supernatural. It looks interesting.
We need to get this guy on here interviewed if he'd be into it. His YouTube channel is youtube.com at Chasing the Illusion 52. So put that on there and go follow him for his new series. Yeah, because I thought it was because he put up a video the other day, is magic real? But the and that but that yeah, is magic real? Right, and that's the name of the show. And it's yeah, when is it dropping? So this Sunday, which would be
Yeah, I
the
think it's every Sunday for eight weeks.
cannot fucking wait to watch it, genuinely.
Super interesting. Anyone who's making like independent content like that, that's so interesting. It takes so much effort.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do like a little like documentary series, a like full show special, but to actually do it is commendable. And I like his
Yeah.
channel. Yeah, everyone go follow Chasing the Illusion. At Chasing the Illusion 52 on YouTube, and go and check out Sean Chandler, crushing it in the Facebook group. But I think he has got an Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, that's where he posted originally that the necklace idea. Sorry, is the Chase or Sean?
Sean, this is.
Yeah, Sean does. I don't know whether it's I think he might have changed it from Skull and Bongs to like the real Sean Chandler or something now. I can't remember. I'll find out. Let me have a look.
No, it's
You know,
just at
I
Skull and Bones
oh, is
still
it still just that?
that I can see, yeah.
Skull and Bongs. Yeah, Skull and Bongs. Okay. You know, I can't really, I don't think I can really say anything about it, but Dean James is also filming something really interesting at the moment. I was speaking about it, speaking to him about it yesterday with some big people in. It's not obviously not mine to share, but
Oh, what? You can't just say that and then leave me hanging, blue-balled, ready to net. Sorry.
it ain't mine to share, but it looks amazing.
Dean James is a literal genius.
Yeah, is the only person whose product has got me interested in stack work. After playing with the Rainman deck, that's the only thing that has ever interested me in Stackwork.
Yeah, it's so smart. We should we should get Dean James on here as well. I want to know what this thing is he's doing now.
I'll speak to you after.
Anyway, you said before we began today that you had, because I'm very conscious of time, that you had a theme for this episode, which was given to us by somebody. Well, I'll let you explain.
Yeah, I mean, we can see it might be crap, you never know. But how long ago? About a week or so ago, I need to reply to him actually. About a week or so ago, John Morton messaged and said, "I have an idea for the Black Heart podcast." When I was a kid, my mum had an old tin biscuit barrel that we called the button box. It contained all sorts of small random things like paper clips, thimbles, old Christmas cracker gifts, safety pins, old coins, and of course buttons. From talking to people a lot of households seem to have a random box like this, which I know that mine definitely had two of them, biscuit tins just with thimbles and stuff
And I, dude, I go on, carry on.
in. He said, "To me as a kid, it was a constant source of interest and ideas. So I now have my own tin that I'm making up into a mini close-up parlor show. The idea is that all of the objects in the tin each can do a trick, but also collectively they can do stuff." And then I won't read out this part just in case, but he says, for example, here's what's currently in my tin and lists some things and what they can do. And it's, dice and coins and chess pieces and that kind of stuff. I won't say what he said they all do. But he says, the whole, all of the items I can use to do readings and other tricks as well. You get the idea. All items are random but organic looking, nothing magic related. So I was just wondering, for the show, are there any items that would be in your tin and what effects would they do? And then he sent a little picture of this little tin. I'll show you. It's
Wow.
not
So
really. F
his is like it's I would say it's almost like a tobacco tin in size.
yeah, or like, what are the, is it like Altoids or something?
Altoids type of tin, yeah. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I thought tobacco now. So it's so funny you said that because I was rummaging through my old girl's attic the other day and I found my grandmother's old button box biscuit tin. It was an old Quality Street tin, so quite a
Yeah.
big one. Like the size of a dinner plate, in terms of width and circumference, octagonal, and it was embossed tin. And I opened it up, and because it used to have like all like exactly buttons and things like that in there, I opened it up, and I got hit with the smell of 70 years of tobacco and cigarettes. Because it was literally it like nearly knocked me out. My grandmother used to smoke 40 to 60 cigarettes a day, and that tin had been taken from her house after she died, and it's been my mother's attic for 10 years since. And when we opened it was like whoosh, literally like took me instantly back to like choking in her living room of nicotine. But I can picture all the contents in there right now, like blue buttons, little plastic bags with sewing needles and thread in there, and fascinating concept just immediately. Fascinating, like my head's running wild. I don't know about you. You must have
Yeah.
had a billion ideas, right, when you first heard that.
You know what? I read it and then I was like, I'm going to save this for the show. But I have been thinking a little bit. But I love that everyone, whenever you recognize a shared trait, it's like you have to capitalize on it. There are a bunch of pseudo hypnosis pieces I have. There are literally the only basis of them was originally I realized, oh, everyone does this one thing. And
Yeah.
it's as soon as you recognize everyone had this, everyone does this one thing, you have to take advantage of it in mentalism and magic. That's where some of the best stuff comes from. So the idea that you can, in an instant, like 80% of the room, probably you can say, you all had this tin as well in your house, didn't you? And instantly everyone's on your side. Instantly everyone's actually interested because what you're saying is true. And it like sets you up so well for, like he says, a mini little parlor show.
I almost feel like you could. Mine was quite a big one, obviously, but his was small. I always feel like for some reason, the first thing that comes to my head is that you could take a perfect photo top on of the contents of it, print it out, and then put it back in to the to another to a duplicate tin, so it looks filled with the same stuff, and you could have a rattle box on your arm or whatever. And at some point through the show, you could switch it out, and on the back of that photo could be the a playing card face. So you could show that, or maybe it's a playing card face that you've had signed and you've loaded that in there. So at some point, you show that tin that they've been looking into and out of all the way through. You rattle it, and then you just tip it upside down, and out drops a signed card from nowhere, apparently. But when you show the tin out, now it's empty, and they don't see the back of the card. You know, I don't know. I don't know. That was the very first thing that came to my head.
The one of the first things that came to mind, which was like probably never use it, but I just enjoyed thinking about it, was those big biscuit tins are double layered, and when they've still got the packaging
Yeah.
inside, and all it had me thinking was like at the end of it when they open the tin, everything's gone that you'd used,
It's gone.
because it's like a cup and vase kind of thing.
You could get I wonder if you could like for example, say it's a metal tin. Say one of the last objects you get is a coin, and instead of the coin, one of the last objects left inside there that's been there throughout is a coin. But what you could probably do is find a way to emboss that coin into the metal tin. So it looks like it's in there, and you could probably have a rattle box again. But then when they feel it, it's actually now embossed, you know, it's part of the tin itself. I don't know what the trick would be, but you know, just something like that. Just as an interesting optical thing, possibly. But well.
Just on like the concept of those tins, I know for a fact that the tin that my mum has got, it's got all her sewing needles and her thimbles and buttons and the patterns for like sewing dresses and shit like that,
Yeah.
like the paper patterns. But I know for a fact it's also got a pack of cards in there, like an old beat up one from Gran Canaria.
Oh wow. Oh wow. I wonder if if you go through the David Jonathan Snaps deck, you could probably find like a few objects, or you could think of some yourself that when laid out spell a word. So if you had a tiny pair of like if you know you get nail clippers in them sometimes from a cracker, Christmas cracker. So that could be the letter V or an A. You can put some match sticks in there, which you could lay into any letter shapes. You could put some thread, which you could put into like the letter S or something, you know, a button for O. So you could do a few tricks. Maybe on the tin, there's some words on the back. They think of a long word, or they think of, you know, an object or whatever. And as you, but maybe they do that at the start of the routine, you perform some tricks, and then at the very end, you say, "Oh, by the way, you're thinking of a word," and they look at the objects as you've laid them out, and it spells the word written in the shape of the objects.
That's nice, man. That's cool. You could totally do that with, and you could have it be a selection of words. Like if there's eight interesting words, you know for a fact you can spell with them on the tin.
Yeah, or especially if the inside of it, if the bottom of the tin is very reflective. So the word is spelled backwards at the end. You open the tin, you say like the secret's inside. It's always been inside. You
Oh,
hold it
that's
towards the
fun.
end, and you say, "Look inside the tin. The secret is inside the tin." Now that word comes to life in the reflection.
Oh, I like that. One of the first things that kind of came to me was I can't remember the name of the trick or the name of the art form it's based on, but it was there's scissors in there, and it's where you cut in the paper and then open it up, and it's like a traditional art form.
Oh yeah. Like people holding hands. The old people holding hands.
Yeah, or like
Or like
whose was the
silhouette.
trick? What, sorry?
The silhouette trick, you mean, like the
Yeah, whose was that again? Where it was the notebook with like 40 different.
well the
You know the one I mean?
celebrity cutout. I don't know, I've never done it, but I know the one you
It
mean.
had like pandas and stuff in it. I used to have one. Who was it? No, it doesn't matter. I'll find out. But I love stuff like that, and that could be super supernatural.
Oh yeah, of course.
What else feasibly would someone have in this tin? Would your old girl have in this
Paper
tin?
clips. You could do the old like paperclip Lincoln paperclips thing.
Oh, and with paper clips, the first thing I think of is predictions.
Oh, is it? I think of oh, I not paper clips. I was thinking of safety pins. You know the Lincoln enchanted safety pins.
Oh yeah.
Plus, Mayhew has a really good visual version of that. You could have rubber bands in there, so I would be happy.
A simple man.
Yeah, I'm a simple
I'm
man.
happy with my rubber bands.
Oh, sorry. What if you could do something like where you put if it had a false bottom in the top of it, you know, so it drops down like a spirit slate kind of thing.
Yeah.
You do something simple, like you put a needle inside it and a bit of thread. You close the lid and shake it. Another thread is on the needle. The
Yeah.
needle thread. Be quite nice.
That would be nice. The you know, if you were someone who was like a bizarre mentalist or a geek, that's just all blockhead stuff, all freak show stuff in there.
Yeah. There's literally a whole act of this that you could do matchstick work, you know,
Like
like
all of Wayne's thread stuff.
all the thread stuff. Yeah, thread from the eye. You could, well, even gypsy thread.
Yeah.
You could have an old Altoid suite in there and do something with that, you know. Maybe it's like an angle zero and it's inside one of the Altoid suites from series before. You could do like Jamie Badman and is it Jamie and Colin who did heirloom type of trick?
Oh,
It's
yeah.
Jamie Badman. It is Colin, isn't it?
I think so.
Just quickly searching so I don't make a twat of myself.
Oh, we're well past
Yeah,
that
Colin
point.
Miller, Jamie Badman. Yeah, Colin Miller and Jamie Badman, two of the funniest, nicest people in magic. Yeah, so you could have like an old photograph of somebody holding a playing card, or it doesn't have to be a playing card, it could be anything, you know. But then you could just force it, you don't have to do it necessarily the heirloom style, just that idea of having like a retro photo.
Yeah, there's so many tricks with photos that you can use.
I wonder if you introduce something new to it, like this was my grandmother's button box. This is my mother's button box. I have an empty one here. And tonight we're going to create a new one that I'm going to pass down to my kids. So everybody from the audience brings something out of your bag that could fit into this new button box.
That you're willing to let me steal.
Yeah. What if it's like a, or even if you just, you know, did it like a, kind of like an old school, like a droid dupe, like the last thing, you're like, oh, the last thing in my grandmother's button box is a piece of paper with a word written on it.
Yeah.
Tonight we're going to start a new one. That I'm gonna hand down. I want you to write down a word and place it into my button box, and then you just show that they match or the pictures match. You know, so something like that. I like this idea of like, you know, creating a new one with the audience.
It's a really nice concept for a parlor show. And you know, there's probably reliably, there's probably about five or six things you know that every audience will give you. Because someone is going to have a train ticket, someone's going to have a two pence coin, you know, stuff like that that you can already have built, and then you're just asking for donations. And it.
What if it's something, pardon me for blowing my nose, by
No,
the
no.
way. What if it was a natural force? Not a natural force, a force in this context. Jake, I have a button box here. Inside
Yes.
there are 30 to 40 or 20 different objects. I've never met you before, but this is going to be the Theseus's button box.
Right.
So we're going to swap one object out for another. I don't know what you're going to swap, but if I do this enough times with enough people throughout my life, at some point this whole button box will become a new button box, but we'll never know when. Like the ship of Theseus. Is it Theseus?
Yeah,
Theseus?
thesis.
Theseus, where if you slowly replace every plank of wood on a ship, at what point does it become an entirely new ship? We shall start doing the same thing with this button box. So take the button box, keep it to yourself for a moment, have a look through, have a rummage, and choose one object that you might have on you that coincides to swap it out. And of course, it's probably going to be a coin. Yeah, because everything will be like, I know it sounds a bit ridiculous even, but you could force the object maybe. I don't
Yeah.
know. But I mean, yeah, the idea is that you do that and then you say, so you're holding an object. There's no way I can know what it is. You're holding the coin or the safety pin. I mean, I wonder if there's a way to just do that. I wonder if you had two button boxes, one of them is filled with one object multiple times, like 100 little safety pins, and you say under the table so you see it blindly, take one thing out. And when you bring out you switch the button box, maybe it turns upside down, so there's two lids on it, you
Yeah.
know? So one side has got loads of stuff, the other side is just safety pins or I don't know. Q chalks, anything. And they say, just open it yourself, quickly reach in, pull something out, hold it in your fist, don't let me see it, close the lid. And you force them the same object.
I love the idea of it being this almost an extreme version of Nothing by Max Maven,
Right, quite.
where it isn't, you haven't bought the props and now before the show. You're literally just getting the props from the audience.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, everyone placed one thing in the button box. You could even do like a psychometry thing then where you reveal who put what in.
That's fun.
You
Yeah.
could do a hoi, touch it on hoi type of thing. If it forced the same five objects, or yeah, five objects, they repeating.
Dude, literally just because I was thinking of Max Maven then, if everyone put one object in the tin, you could say, and there's this other tin I've got where I've only got one object in it. And we're going to whittle down all these objects and they match. And you could just do like this patio force with 40 objects.
With 40, oh wait, with 40 objects.
You can do a patio force with infinite objects.
What do you mean? How? Do I know this? Am I being stupid?
You know where you say to them, place your fingers on two objects, and then I'm going to eliminate one. And then I'm going to do the same. I place my fingers on two objects, you eliminate one.
Yeah.
And so you can have it
Oh,
end up.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's clever.
This is a
I
lot of
love
fun.
this whole thing. This whole thing is a bit, so much. There's so much potential with it.
Yeah. So we did stray a little bit from John's
Oh, you can
question
do the
there.
little wriggling fish. You know, the little
Oh, the fortune telling fish.
telling fish.
Yeah, they've got to go in there because it's an old Christmas cracker gift. Oh man, have you ever opened up a Christmas cracker and been like, it's mental that this is in there? Because I've opened them up before and it's been like a magic square and shit like that. I've opened them up and there's been like a binary trick inside it.
Oh yeah, mine did this year for Christmas.
It's so good.
I love it. Yes. I'm wondering if like inside the lid you could put some instructions that pre-show someone in a way. I don't know. Shit. What, so sorry, you said we deviated a bit from the question. What?
So his question was just like, if you were to take out this tin of yours, like, what would you want to put in there? Although I do like this angle we're going for quite a lot as well now.
Yeah, what I want to put it. What, okay, anything that comes to your mind though, as we quickly say anything you want to put in there.
I know for a fact that even though it might appear magical, you could get away with like four loose cards for a pack of tricks.
Yeah, 100%.
Even if they weren't cards, they were, Polaroids or whatever, you could do
It could be
something.
one card that you tear into four pieces. It could be a photo. Yeah. What I want to put in there? It depends if it what size. Like if it was like a big biscuit tin, like my grandmother had, or a Quality Street tin, or if it was like a small it'd have to be a small Altoids box, I think. It just looks okay.
What else do I keep in the boxes like that? Like stuff like watch batteries, they're quite interesting.
Oh, you should totally make a like a scotch and soda coin unique type thing. You should totally make a watch battery that's a shell for another watch battery.
It's probably out there. That's
Yeah.
quite fun.
Coin unique.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what would be cool to be in there? I don't know if this has ever been done, but if it was just a corner off a Rubik's Cube, like one corner, you know, they break apart. And then you do, I don't know, maybe you do it. You give someone another Rubik's Cube in the audience, and you say, "Like this, you can pop out any piece you want." So mix it up and pop a piece out, and you know, hand it to me inside the button box. There's a matching piece, and it's the same exact piece that they've pulled out. And the method could be that when they hand you the piece, you just false transfer it and then load it into the button box. So they
Yeah.
think it's the same. They think it's a different piece, but it's exactly the same piece they just handed you. I don't know.
That's fun.
You could force out the Rubik's Cube. I would say because my grandfather had a Rubik's Cube and he kept Rubik's Cubes by the side of his bed.
Nice.
So I would imagine something like that would be like kept in something of mine somewhere.
Yeah. Your matchsticks and matchbooks was a good shout because there's just countless old self-working things with matches.
Shoestrings. That's why the shoestring
Strings
one.
is a good one. Oh yeah. This is just every rope trick possible now.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Ah, oh, dude. I really want to come up with something super neat you could do just with like a pen. Just
Oh my God. Sorry.
no, go.
I was thinking like a child's tooth.
That's a good
A
one. Always
tooth.
a good one. Yeah.
I'm sure I went through my dad's biscuit box and I found like a full like wisdom tooth there or something.
Yeah, I found my umbilical cord.
What did it taste like? Haley walked past and laughed as you said that
No,
there. Have you? Have you? Is that illegal?
it's they give it to you. It's all shriveled up.
What?
Have you ever had like a baby book or anything like that?
Yeah, but I don't keep rotten flesh in the fucker.
Well, in the front of baby books, they sometimes have compartments for you to place them in.
That is creepy.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah, I suppose so. Whatever floats your boat, man. I ain't gonna judge. But yeah, a tooth would be cool because what I was thinking, you could have a tooth and a family photo. So there's like a line of, say, 30 people, and you could do something like, okay, I've got a family photo and I've got a little magnet here, like the ones that look like they've got a little, the magnets that have a little plastic pin tag bit on their head. And you're like, yeah, and I have a little flat magnet. Or I have another matching one. So I say, here's a photo, hold it face down and attach a magnet on both sides of it. And then they do that. And you say, okay, so turn it around. You've pinned the magnet over one person's face or as close to, we'll go for the closest person.
Yeah.
They remove the magnet and it's the only person smiling with a missing tooth.
That's fun. I thought you were gonna go like you have the tooth in a little container, a jar or something, and you say, oh, this was supposed to go to the tooth fairy and shake it and it turns into a pound coin. Your idea is way better.
I know, I think that's pretty cool as well, though. A tooth to a pound coin is a great effect because that's something actually in global folklore. I think it's global folklore, probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tooth to coin. That's fucking awesome. I love that trick, actually.
You know, I've been thinking for years, how do I, is there something fun that I can do? Because I have a tooth missing, where
Same.
in Italy many years ago, I got into an unfortunate bar fight with some sailors, and this tooth is missing there.
Oh, nice, dude. It could be a wisdom tooth, and you say this is the strangest thing, but this is a wisdom tooth. And whenever I hold it or I put it in my mouth, I gain knowledge from people or something. I hear it seems like it's going to talk to me,
Yeah, that's like some Grimm's fairy tale shit, man. That's cool.
but yeah, I've definitely found a tooth, as we say, in a biscuit box, so a button box. So that would just be interesting to have in there.
Yeah, there's something very morbid about that. It's sweet, but at the same time, it's creepy that mums keep baby teeth in jars.
Sweet tooth.
You know that idea of like the wisdom tooth being like this urban folklore thing is quite interesting. That's like a Derren Brown show or something.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the wisdom tooth?
Oh, especially if it's like a like I played a game of dice with a sailor, and the game, the loser had to pull out a tooth. You're like, this is the fucking tooth here.
Oh, dude, right up my street. Love that.
I played it in a certain country with him. Guess the country or some shit. Or roll the dice. If I can guess what's on your dice, and then you have some fucking Adverdi dice in there. A dice would be a great one to have in there, electronic
Oh,
dice.
shit. Yeah, super easy.
And they fit perfectly with it. And then you could do a shitload of stuff.
You could totally have, like mismatched, like lost pieces from board games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I've found, the hat from Monopoly knocking about in a drawer somewhere.
Oh, yeah, the little dog.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. If you had like a little like toy elephant or something, and it could oh, do you know what would be wicked? If you had either gallium or mercury, probably gallium, but if you had a mold of a toy elephant, for example, oh, empty this button box out, and the last you're like, oh, I'm gonna leave the elephant in here. I'm gonna place it over here to the side. And like a Is it Darren who does this? shout out if anybody sees the monkey. So you do the opposite. He's like, I want you to shout out when you see the elephant disappear. So anyway, you start off, you're doing your whole routine. Because it's Mercury's better because it would melt faster, but gallium.
Kill the entire front row.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. But also, because at the bottom of those tins are reflective, when it melted, it would become reflective. As long as you didn't elbow it and show that it rippled, so that it would vanish, but then you could, as long as you didn't touch the table or rattle it, they could look at it, they could see no evidence of it because it would just blend in, probably, hopefully, with the underneath of it.
You know,
So they would slowly melt away as you perform.
dude, you know what? That's quite fun. I've shown you. I know for a fact I've shown you at some point some stuff I have to do with caromancy, which is where you pour melted wax inside of a cold water, and it forms a certain shape. And so for years and years, I was trying to make these molds that looked exactly like wax, so that you could have it palmed and pull out this melted wa this wax that had solidified in water, and it would be a shape that you then give a reading on. Like, that's what it is. It's a divination art. And it, oh, this actually looks like the dog that you were talking about earlier, blah, blah, blah. And so for ages and ages, I played around with how you could get like you could make molds, like have stuff pre-done that you could give good readings with. But you could have like a little plastic figure that you switch out for a figure that's just a mold of wax that then melts as well.
Wow. Holy fuck. Oh shit. A glass figure that you switch for ice
Yeah,
pack.
that's a good one.
Another thought of a trick which would be cool, kind of the same thing as earlier I said, but maybe it would be a nicer visual, is if you put out somebody's, I've got a blocked nose, so it's really hard to say, but a finger ring inside the tin, and you take out a piece of the thread, and you put the middle of the thread inside the tin, loose with the ring, but you leave the end sticking out, and you close the tin tight. And then you shake it, and when they open the tin, the ring is linked onto the thread. It would be a nice trick, I think.
It's
And
all
both of us
so,
are thinking, how the fuck do you do that?
it's all just really nice and natural. And 100% there's tea light candles in my tin because you need them. I need me a tea light candle to perform anything.
Gotta be, or a bit, you pull out a huge candle. What if at the end the tin had like a piece of omni plastic in it, like a full piece of solid plastic at the very end? You could just do something like that.
You get your holy wood tin.
What if there's a
Actually,
bullet? What if there's a bullet hole in the tin and a bullet?
oh, that's fun. This is the tin
Like
my
a
granddad had in his top pocket
dent.
during
Yeah, a
World War
big
II.
dent in it, like a horrible dent and a bullet in there. And ask someone to think of a date, and that's the date on the bullet or some shit.
That's fun. That is fun. This just made me laugh, actually, because,
Here, Jake, think of a date.
okay.
Okay, that bullet would be there from, yeah. And then add up all those numbers in that year, whatever year it is, say. Okay, so not
Okay. Okay.
add up all those numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be off by one, but is the full total you have now, is it 20?
But all of the numbers.
Yeah. In the year, sorry.
Oh, in the year. Sorry, one sec. Why has my mind just gone blank? No.
Okay. What year were you thinking of?
1945. So
And
I was one
one
up.
plus nine is 10. Yeah, and I said I'd be off by one. So I said 20, your number was 19. It's pretty good.
Oi, that's fun. There's definitely something you could do with that.
Because the year, for, yeah, everyone's going to think of World War II or one way. If it was World War II, was 46, wasn't it? Or 45? Fuck, I'm going
My history's awful. I
Yeah,
thought
my
it was like
shit, my
40
shit. But I.
prior to.
Yeah, but you're only going to be off by one or two because 1 plus 9 is 10, plus 4 is 14, plus then whatever other number, 5, 6. But to anybody else not thinking, and if you said like you at the front, you think about what year this bullet could be from, and then you come back to them later and add up all the numbers in that year, and then you come back to them at the very end. You're like, you can think of any year in history from. guns were first invented in the 1500s, all the way up to, my granddad could have been killed last year because of the bullet. The numbers you added up come to 20, or off by one, always put it like 19. I don't know.
No, that's nice.
Anyway,
What I
definitely.
was laughing about before was when we were at Blackpool, you saw what my close-up case looks like, which is nothing at all like a magician's close-up case.
Great.
And that's literally got a full-size big candle in, along with just like rocks, runes, drawstring bags, Hessian pouches.
Oh, I'd love there to be just like a little bit of sand in the fucking tin as well.
Oh man, what was it we were playing with where there was a bit of sand? Was it when we were doing the message in a bottle stuff? That was fun.
Yeah.
I love sand. Makes me think of Jadoo.
What'd you do? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true. What else could be in there? I don't know. I think that stuff alone is a good jumping off point.
Yeah, there's so many options there are. Oh yeah, that's believable. It's completely believable that, your mum has put a half-torn Pokemon card in that tin. Because it's like the shit drawer. There's everything's in there.
A battery, an old battery.
Batteries,
Well, you've
definitely.
said batteries, haven't you?
Watch batteries are fun
What if it was
object.
like a room 101 or something where it was shit you weren't allowed to play with as a kid, but your mother for some reason didn't want to throw it out?
Ooh, that's good. That's
Bad
fun.
omens.
What'd you say?
Bad omens.
Bad omens. What's a bad omen?
An umbilical cord sounds like a fucking good start.
What dangerous stuff were you not allowed to play with when you were a kid?
Razor blades,
Yeah,
Kugelhupf.
the refillable part of Stanley knives I always got taken off me.
Yeah, they're great ones. I had a chemistry set when I was a kid, and some of
Yeah, dude, where it's like 100 chemicals.
that. Yeah, magnesium.
Yeah, you just mix them all up and die from the gas. So good. That's a
Yeah.
shared memory there. I think so many people have got all of those test tubes filled with shit.
It's almost like if you go the opposite direction of some of this stuff, you could turn it into a force if you said something like what you imagine is in my, or what I wouldn't be allowed to play with. I'm guessing razor blades would be like a common theme, maybe.
I'm trying to think what else I was banned from.
What
I
if it was
wasn't.
things like a broken CD or a broken cassette tape, and you're like, oh yeah, this is because of, I had a bad day, or it reminds me of something and I couldn't bear to throw it out. Something like that.
That's nice. I love cassette tapes. When I was a kid, I remember cassette tapes always like had this weird mystery to me because I found one once. Well, I found a couple of them, but I found one once on the street and it had been all rubbed off, so I didn't know what was on it. And I remember a good hour on the way home just like, oh, I wonder what's on it. I hope it's Michael Jackson. Not knowing what was on the cassette tape was so fun to me.
Kaylee's going. Bye. Where are you going, Kel? See you none. Okay. All right. I'll speak to you later.
Bye, Kaylee.
Right. I wonder if you could do something where, like, so there was a video I seen where a teenager, like Sam Sugarman, was shown a cassette tape and a pencil, and they
Yeah.
said, how do these two items work?
Yeah.
And they were completely clueless, like Sam Sugarman. And he thought he thought the best song from Queen was God Save the Queen.
That just makes me think of Blackpool. Was it the year before last or last year, where he was saying about has anyone got a USB-C wire? And we were like, what are you
Yeah,
was it
USB-A.
USB-A wire?
Like, it's primitive. Anyway, but you can have items at the yeah, items in there which are like, if you know items. But if you don't,
Yeah.
you like, I'm gonna test everybody's age in this room. I've got a pencil and a cassette. Who knows what to do with these two items together? And then half people put their hands up, half of them don't. You say, okay, you were born, been talking before. For us, no, it's just it's an engaging concept, though, isn't it? Like,
it
not,
is.
it's
It's a...
not, it's not really offensive because.
No, it's not. It's a Facebook boomer post. It's
Oh, yeah, I know,
share this
but.
post if you're from the last generation that played outside.
But like, yeah, true. Yeah. Have you ever knocked on a friend's door without texting them? Holy shit, you're in your 40s.
Remember when we used to remember each other's phone numbers?
Yeah. I remember just waiting for someone to turn up. And then
Mate,
they invite up.
so many nights just spent. He said he'd be here at 8 a.m. Just sitting there for 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you? The police locked my door at 3:15 in the morning on Tuesday night, whatever. I showed you the video. Did I show you the video of the ringing doorbell? Anyway, someone had broken into my car, but they didn't steal anything. It made me think at the time, and it's kind of relevant to this, but as a good introduction to a mentalism piece, like, because I basically, they were like, have a look to see what they've stole. And I was rummaging through the car. I was like, I have no idea. But it made me think of when you said, like, which card would be the card that goes to prison. If you said someone, I want you to imagine someone's like broken into your house. Because you know, like in Sherlock, he sets the house in Sherlock Holmes, the books. One in the, which one is it? I can't remember which one, but he sets fire to the house and watch which way their eyes go for the safe. It's like, I want you to imagine someone breaks into your car or your house and think of the first item you'd think they'd steal. As an approach to think, instead of having someone think of an object arbitrarily, that approach to it is more engaging just in general and could probably lead you into more definitive zones of what they would think of. Like, probably because you're a scouser, they probably nick your tracksuit, first of all. They?
Not my pink shell suit.
Your
Nah.
shell suit.
I really like that concept. Like, what is it? A scandal in Bohemia?
What the fuck is that?
It's the Sherlock Holmes book.
Oh, right. Oh. Fuck. I read, but
I'm so bad on the titles. I think it was a
my
scandal in
grandfather had a
Bohemia.
huge fat stack of Conan Doyle books, and it was the first story from the first book at the top that I went through them all years ago. And I cannot remember, I couldn't tell you the name. Study in Scarlet, is it?
Study in Scarlet is the first one, is it?
A study in, is it that one where she looks at the vault of the fire?
God knows. This has become a Sherlock Holmes podcast
Yeah, shit. We need
now.
Ben Cardell in to do this one.
Study in Scarlet is the one with the message written in blood.
At midday, Jefferson Hope makes a fire and leaves John Ferrier and Lucy by it when he goes. Oh, is that not that one, is it? What the fuck? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant to the story.
It's irrelevant, but it's interesting still. You know, tangentially, Arthur Conan Doyle and Sherlock himself are related to magicians, so it's
Yeah,
fine.
and they had. There's a great letter from. It was in Phantasma's magic shop in New York. It's my favorite like magic memorabilia because I'm not really into magic memorabilia, but it's a letter from Houdini to Arthur Conan Doyle. They like corresponded and they fell out over mediums. Because well, it's a long story, but there's a Roger owns Phantasma that has the second largest Houdini connection in the world. I think it's next to Copperfield. But there's a letter that was on the wall, and it's from Houdini to Conan Doyle, and it was like littered with spelling mistakes, and I just think it's a fascinating letter on its own. But like the fact that it was so human, you know, in an age where we live in, like everything's so manufactured and airbrushed, and you know, checked by publicists, and I don't know, I thought, oh, I've got photos. I've always been fascinated with that piece of memorabilia. Anyway, sorry, I
No,
digress.
it's interesting. That's there's the whole story about them conducting a séance after he died and stuff, isn't there?
Reacher's mother, isn't it? Oh yeah, well that's it. Yeah, that's for another. Yeah, that's. But they didn't they fall out because his mother didn't come back to him in a séance.
Something like that. God knows. But that just made me think, when was the can you remember when the first time you heard about Houdini was? Because I can remember the first time I saw Houdini.
I can remember first time. Go on, tell me yours.
It was Harvey Keitel played him in a movie about fairies. You know, those two girls who took photos of fairies at the bottom of their garden.
Yes.
And they
That
meet.
was a great movie,
Yeah.
I think.
No, it was good.
It was
It's
great
based on
back
the
then.
true story. They kept up this lie for years and years.
Did he do the trick in the film, in the trailer for the film, where he points his fingers together and then he reveals a knife behind his fingertips?
I can't remember. I
Isn't
just remember it was Harvey Keitel and they met him at some point in the film.
Yeah, in a restaurant, and he makes a knife appear behind his hands, I think. Fuck, I've got to find that now.
That's such an interesting story.
Let me see. I'm putting it into fucking YouTube as we speak. Chalk trick. Harvey Keitel is Houdini. Let me see. What year was this released?
Like 97 or 96 or something, maybe.
97. Bang on. Did
Yeah.
you fucking Google that?
No, I remember going to the pictures to see it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm watching the trick. No. He produces a pear from behind her ear, puts it on a plate. I'm watching the video right now. Oh, it is the trick with the knife. Oh my God,
Nice.
I've been looking for this trick for years because the visual of it was so spectacular. Wow, it's whoa, dude, this is the trick. This is exactly the trick. What the fuck? Okay, so he produced a pear from behind her ear.
Apples.
Apples or pears?
Pears, please.
She chooses a pear. He pulls a pear from behind her ear. Oh my God, the visual that I remember is so di slightly different, but now I can see how it works. Oh, it's still really good though. Wow. Oh my God, that method's actually great. Whoa. I've been looking for this clip for donkey's years. I thought it was in the Houdini movie that was published around the same time.
Yeah.
Because there's a Houdini movie from the 90s, mid-90s. And I thought that clip, I've been looking for this clip for so long, dude. A visual of the knife. What he does, he imagine you point your two index fingers together and they touch like two guns almost. So he does that, and then he does the rest of his fingers, and he pulls his hands away. And there's a knife there, and the visual to it was a little bit cleaner in my memory than what it is now. But
Yeah.
still, it looks super. Wow, love it.
I can't remember it, but there was one where Adrien Brody was Houdini as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, is yes. I'm trying to think. That was apparently was that a TV series?
Oh, was it?
I don't know. Sorry, it's one movie. Oh, that's I've got to search for Adrien Brody. What was that? It was a fucking TV. It was a one season long TV drama
All
with 42% rating. Wow, 7.3 on IMDb though. It's not bad, is it?
No, but yeah, for some reason that memory of Houdini always stuck out in my head because I didn't know who he was at the time.
Oh, it was a TV movie in 1998. Oh, I don't think this is the same one though that I'm thinking of.
Probably been a bunch of them.
Is the Houdini the movie I was thinking of was like a total like creepy looking dude. Probably listens to this fucking podcast though, so fuck's up.
All the best creeps do.
Huh?
Although they're probably listening right now going, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yes, very true. Yeah, where did, how did we get here? What year is it? What day is it?
Dude, I can't remember. That fairy tale movie just came into my head because I love that story.
Ugh.
And I liked the idea of that being my first ever exposure to Houdini.
My first exposure to him was having a magic book given to me, or someone knew that I was interested in magic as a little kid. Fucking handed me a magic book, and there was a picture of Houdini in the
Oh,
milk
yeah.
escape. And when you
Yeah.
turned the page, it showed how he pulled the rope down to loosen it.
When I was trying to, well, when I saw that movie and then I was trying to learn more about him, so I was looking at books in the library because the local library to me at the time had some decent magic books. And one of the pictures just terrified me as a kid, that picture of Houdini where he looks super scary.
Yeah, like the white face of the eye makeup.
Is it the one where he's like, is he on a bridge or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I don't. Oh no, it might be that one you're on about. Yeah, like the proper headshot.
Might be. I don't know. Anyway, we're coming up to the hour mark, and this is all the juice you're getting this week.
It's fed up with my rambling.
No, I got stuff to do. But dude, this was a great episode.
Yeah, this was fun, dude. It was nice to speak to you.
Yeah, you too. And thanks, John Morton, for suggesting the topic, because it's literally we've fed off this or the
Saved
whole.
our bacon.
Shout out to Chasing the Illusion and to Sean Chandler as well, and everyone else who listens. Thank you all so much. You guys are amazing. We'll be back for episode 47 in a week's time.
Hell yeah.
And to say if you're a new listener and you want to find more, explore more about the Black Art Podcast, then and the necessary social medias and websites, go to theblackartco.com, and there's a main link for all the podcast channels you can find us on, or platforms even, and the Facebook group and Instagram links, and everything in between. You can email us directly if you have an idea for the theme of next week's show, like John Morton did for this week. Then please let us know, because that makes our lives a lot easier. We're lazy.
It does, and make sure it's not a shit idea though.
Yeah, public service announcement. Not all ideas will be used. Just in case someone said it's like something derogatory or filthy.
Download my new free ebooks. They're free, so you might as well.
Yeah.
www.jakekeen.com.
Great show.
And there's a s little section called Free Magic. If you click on there, there's two new books added. One's called Sufferance, one's called Blind Item.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm all about it. All about it. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And gals, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in a week's time. Episode 47. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
Zoom.